Welcome to the She Connects podcast. My name is Susan VandenHeuvel, and I am honored to be your host each and every week. This is an extension of my ministry, She Rises, that allows me to connect with women in the online space. You can learn more about me and my ministry at www.sherisesmn.org or simply tap the link in the show notes. But for now, let's dive into this week's episode. Well, hello, ladies. How are you doing? Welcome back to the show. I'm so excited that you're here. And I am about ready to bust a seam because I'm excited about this week's guest. My friend Missy is joining us from Oklahoma. I'll allow her to tell you a little bit more about where she's joining us from here in a minute. But Missy came into my life probably a year ago, maybe a couple of years ago. And I feel like I've known her forever. You know, those people that come into your life and you think, oh, I've known you for years. And she just is such a blessing. My life is blessed because she's in it. And let me tell you something. The body of Christ in the world is better because she's in it. I really believe that she is carrying a message that is a word in due season for the body of Christ. And so we're going to get into that here in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking about being women who have a bold and audacious faith in the world right now, which is so needed. But before we get into all of that, welcome to the show, Missy. Tell us a little bit about you and where you're joining us from.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me today, Susan. You are dear to me. Your ministry has been such a blessing to me, and I know many, many, many other women and people who listen in. It is just rich with wisdom and understanding. You are definitely in your place in the body of Christ. You are a voice for him, and he just flows through you powerfully. So thank you for having me today. It is an honor to be here. But my name is Missy Kerrigan, and yes, you might, some of the Northern people might say she has a thick accent. And I say y'all, and I say all those Southern cliches. I definitely do. But I'm from Oklahoma, and my husband and I, we pastor a church in Oklahoma. We've been pastors, senior pastors, for 9 years now. We have been in ministry almost our whole married life, and we've been married for, 18 years. And it has been definitely a blessing, our marriage and what God has done in our life. And that's probably for another podcast or another time. But let me just say, God is faithful. When you seek first the kingdom of God, he will get you both in places that you'll just look back in 18 years and say, wow, look at the hand of God. And that's what he's done in our lives. But yeah, so we have two children. They are grown. We are empty nesters. We have one grandchild and another on the way. And our son is going to get married in March. And we also have another grandbaby due in March. So yeah, we have a lot going on, but God has definitely blessed us. And it's been a huge blessing and honor to be asked to be here today. So I'm so excited for what the Lord has to say.
I love all of that. And congratulations on the upcoming wedding and these grandchildren that are coming. And for those of you that are not grandparents yet, we can tell you it is just like the best. And I don't know about you, Missy, but I remember before I became a grandparent, I had friends who would say that to me, like, oh, wait till you become a grandma. And I would just kind of politely nod my head and, oh yeah, because I had nothing to compare it to. I didn't know. And then when I became a grandma, I was, oh, I get it now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You definitely get it. And you see, when you're not grandparent, you can see the sparkle in the grandparents' eyes when they're talking to you. But once you have a grandchild, it's like, oh, yes.
Yes.
It is just such a greater love. And you love your children, but it's just It just, I don't know. It's just beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm excited to dive into this week's conversation with you on bold and audacious faith. When you hear those words, what does that mean to you?
So when I hear the words bold and audacious faith, it means to me a faith that is strong, a faith that is courageous, an unapologetic faith. Also, though, what I believe is very important, it is a focused faith. A faith that is yielded to the Holy Spirit. So a submitted faith, a submitted spirit, one that can yield and be teachable, not to society or to friends and family, but to the Holy Spirit, to his voice and to the word of God. That's what I think about. One of the stories that I think about, and the listeners can go and read that, is in Genesis, where it talks about Abraham. At age 75, God called him and spoke to him. And Abraham had no reservation when God spoke to him. And he held nothing back. At age 75 in society, we're looking at the retirement plan. We're looking at like slowing down. But at age 75, God called Abraham out of his land, out of his town, however you want to put that, out of his country, out of his city that he was familiar with. God called him away from his family. God called him out of his father's house, it says, to a land I will show you. Mm. And you know, there's not much detail there.
Yeah.
That God gave Abraham, but he did say, I will make your name great and I will bless you and you will be a blessing. And so that right there just encourages me. And it says that Abraham believed God. God spoke again to Abraham in Genesis 15. It says God told him that he would have a son, that he would have a descendant. So shall your descendants be. God said to Abraham, look up and see if you can count the stars, if you're able to number them, so shall your descendants be. Well, there was a problem with that. The problem was Sarah was barren. They did not have any children. And God was promising Abraham a child. Scripture says that Abraham believed God in that moment. He believed in what the Lord was saying to him. And so as the story unfolds, you know, they had that child. God was faithful and that child came, the promised child, Isaac. And then the most bold and audacious, I believe, besides Jesus, story, in my opinion, story in the Bible is when God told Abraham, okay, take your son, your one and only son, whom you love, and offer him as a burnt offering. Wow. Wow. And Abraham tells no one about these orders. And that's very important, I believe. And we can talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, he tells nobody. He doesn't go around and start telling. He doesn't even tell Sarah. He tells nobody. He doesn't tell his friends. Hey, God spoke to me. Listen to what God's doing. He just believed. And that is a pondering that happens in our heart. He believed God, and God sees the heart. God knew that Abraham was believing upon him. And so as they went, and Abraham went, he went to a place, he came to the place where God told him to do this. And Isaac asked his dad, Isaac asked Abraham, dad, where's the lamb for sacrifice? And here is Abraham's response to the whole situation. The Lord will provide. That's what he kept saying. He didn't let out the fear. He didn't let out the doubts of the situation. He just said, son, the Lord will provide. So then they came to the place, and he bound Isaac. He laid him on the altar. He stretched out his hand. Abraham took the knife to slay his son. That's bold and audacious.
Yeah.
You know, and it said, the scriptures tell us that the angel of the Lord called out, "Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him." And Abraham lifted his eyes and saw God's provision off to the side. There was a ram caught in the thicket for Abraham in that moment. And then Abraham took the ram and made the sacrifice unto God. So that is an ultimate, bold, audacious faith that Abraham had, because he believed in God. He believed that if God was calling it, then God was going to work it out. I don't know how. I'm not going to let my understanding get in the way. I'm going to trust God and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, and he will direct this thing. He will direct this path. There will be something that comes. And sometimes a vision from God will look like it's dying to us.
Wow.
And God will have a ram caught in the thicket, and he will resurrect from the ashes that very vision. So ladies listening, ladies or whomever's listening, if the vision seems like it's dying or going off course, but you hear God speaking to you, just hold on to that faith. Just believe God as Abraham did and just declare out of your mouth, the Lord is going to provide in this. The Lord will provide. He's got something going on, and I trust him. And just like in this story, you know, Abraham had no reservation to believe God. And God showed up every time.
I love that. That is such a powerful, powerful story. I mean, that's a whole message. I mean, you could just preach on that. And there's you could do a whole series on everything that you just shared. But one of the beautiful things I think that you are effectively communicating when you define bold and audacious faith, because the reason I wanted to start with, let's define that, is because sometimes we think bold and audacious is about how loud you can be. And, you know, and things like that, when right here, I mean, I don't know, we could rewind and listen to this again. This is bold and audacious faith, like believing what God said, even when circumstances don't seem to agree with what God said. And then that act of obedience, especially when our circumstances aren't reflecting what we are taking steps toward, that takes a bold and audacious faith to believe and lay hold of the promises of God. And so I'm questioning then, how have you personally activated your faith to reflect this?
So in this season of my life, the Lord has led me with steps. I haven't taken too many leaps with him right now. I have taken steps with him. So a way that I activate my faith in doing, taking bold and audacious steps is I definitely speak to my future. I speak to it. I declare, I prophesy to my future. As we're on this path of righteousness for his name's sake, there are mountains, there are trials, there are things that are going to come up. And scripture is very clear, and I always allow the scripture to be the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. It is very clear that there will be trials. There are going to be mountains in our life, whether that is circumstances, whether that is a wound maybe that has happened to you in the past, a weight, if you will, in your life. There will be sins that we are tempted to fall into or have fallen into. But the scripture is very clear. And for the listeners, you can reference this. It's a very powerful portion of scripture, and it's found in Mark 11, 22 through 24. And it says, "Have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain," so a mountain is going to be an obstacle, a mountain is going to be a hindrance, a mountain is an insurmountable problem that's in the path, you know, that you have. But scripture says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, so it's in the heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. And so we have to raise our voice and speak to our mountains, speak to those obstacles in the way, believe in our heart, and confess with your mouth. It's the same thing unto salvation. It's the same thing when obstacles come or when something happens that you need to activate your faith, or anyway, speak to your future. What I'm trying to say is speak out of your mouth, declare to your future, prophesy to your future. If there is a mountain in the way, same thing, speak and say to the mountain, be removed, believe in your heart, and we will have those things, what we say. We also have to activate our faith by just simply trusting him, trusting his leadership. He is a good father. He is a good shepherd who leads us. And so just trusting that he can be trusted.
Yeah.
You know, also our faith is a key that releases the resources of heaven into our situation. So we have to activate our faith.
Yeah.
We have to activate our faith. Maybe there's something that you're needing that you feel like that is hindering the walk. Activate your faith. Speak it out. It is the thing that draws and pulls. Faith takes what grace has to offer. And that is scriptural in Romans 4:16. It says, therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace. Well, grace is a man. He is Jesus. And he has finished the work. So, you know, we have to pull those things that we need from heaven by faith. And we take a hold of what grace has already offered for us. And we just have to be bold and go after it.
Wow.
And trust it's going to happen. Not in our timing a lot of times, but, you know, in his timing. We wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the Lord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
so good. So how can we rise above the noise and distractions to be women who remain steadfast in a bold and audacious faith? I feel like we are kind of going there already, you know, with like facing these obstacles and different things like that. But the world is really noisy right now, and there's a lot of distractions, and we can be easily moved by those. But how can we be steadfast in this bold and audacious faith?
I love this question. And so how do we remain steadfast? How do we rise above the noise? Get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. So spend time getting to know your helper, your God in this life. Scripture is very clear that the Holy Spirit is a gift, and he has been sent to us by Jesus, and he comes and resides in us. He lives within us. So get to know him by fellowshipping with him. So when we fellowship, Susan, you and I are talking, we are fellowshipping. You give time for me to talk to you. I give time for you to talk to me. It's not just me barreling through talking the whole time. We've all had friends like that who have just,
yes,
they just talk, and you're just trying to keep up, and you walk away and you're like, wow, what just happened? You know, I had some things to offer and say, but I didn't get the opportunity. So give fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're going to talk. And yes, he is going to talk back to you. Get to know his voice. Commune with him. John 10:27 says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So right there, that scriptural, get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit, because he is the Spirit of truth. John tells us he is our guide. that he knows all truth and he's leading us into that truth. He will, Jesus said he hears and he will speak the things that he hears and he will disclose those things to us and what is to come. So he's going to tell us things that's going to come in the future. So it's very important to get to know his voice. And a good example of this that I found, the best example, if you will, go with me here, everybody, it is a baseball game. And it's like, so Susan, let's use you as an example. You're in this baseball game and the game is tied and you are up to bat, right? Okay, so you're up to bat. Bases are loaded and you get up. And as soon as you hit the ball, every coach starts yelling, everybody in the stands start yelling, your parents are yelling, your friends are yelling, everybody's yelling, run here, throw there, go to third, go home. There are all these voices coming in, right? And so you have to know which voice to listen to. We have to train ourselves to listen to the coach's voice, your coach's voice, not the other coach's voice, your coach's voice. And it's the same way. It's the same way in this world. There's a lot of voices that are going to speak up. There are a lot of people you care about that have your best interests at heart, but they are not the voice of the Holy Spirit. They are not God, the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage, spend time with the Holy Spirit. Spend time in the Word of God. One of the best ways to hear his voice is by reading the scriptures. Start in John. Find out who he is to us, who the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful book to find out who the Holy Spirit is, what his mission on this earth. And that it's okay that Jesus gave him to us and we can follow him because Jesus said that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that is some of the ways. Another way I do is set my gaze, you know, target. Jesus isn't out here just, it's not a birdshot thing. He's got a specific plan for you. He's got a specific plan for me. And he's told us that he knows them. He knows the plans and they are good. And that our future is full of hope. And so we have to get to know him who will set us on target and shoot right at the bullseye where we are supposed to be going towards. I believe everybody has a promised land. I believe every son and daughter has a promised land for themselves that God has for themselves. Mm. And so we just have to set our gaze, letting go of the weights and sins, because that will slow us down on this path.
Right.
So there is definitely some self-reflection time and spending time asking the Lord to show me are there sins in my life that have slowed me down? Mm-hmm. So those are just a few things that I do to rise above the noise and distractions to remain steadfast and targeted on this path.
Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad that you went there in like reminding us, if we're going to get to know his voice, we're going to have to spend time with him.
Yes.
Number one, not do all the talking. And especially for me, lover of words over here, you know, that's such a great reminder for any of us. But also I thought, man, if she doesn't go there, I am, because I am just so like unapologetic and willing to die on that mountain, because it frustrates me when I hear so often people will say, I don't know what God's voice sounds like, and I don't know if he'd be speaking to me, and I don't, you know, I want to hear his voice, but I don't know. And then when you ask, well, you know, how is your Bible reading, or what is he saying to you as you study the word? Oh, I don't read the word. Well, and right. So I'm so glad that you went there. And I know that seems a little bold and audacious, but I feel like we're living in this world where we're just, such a fast-paced culture, and we're just people on the move, and we're just going here and there, and we forget that Jesus is the priority. He's not a priority. He is the priority. And if we are going to continue to flourish in our relationship with him, go deeper in our faith and get to know him even more, and really better understand who he is, because mm-hmm. none of us fully, I mean, we're always growing and reaching higher and just drawing closer to him, but especially in this topic of hearing his voice, it is through spending time in his word, and just communing with him. I just cannot stress that enough. So I'm so, so glad that you went there, because like I said, if I already knew if you weren't going to, I was, because I am just so like, we need to do this.
We do. It, the word of God, and it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And there have been many, you know, this is what I say. Don't worry about memorizing the word. Just read it. Mm-hmm. It will illuminate. The Holy Spirit will illuminate portions of scripture. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking.
Yeah.
You know, we cannot do this. We cannot walk on this path without the word of God. The Holy Spirit is not going to shift away from the word of God, not going to shift away with a different truth. Society's truth. This is the truth, and he is the spirit of truth. So he is, you know, he is going to stay on this path of the word of God, and it is alive. It is alive. So you can read a chapter and think, oh, I've heard that 500 times, you know, read it again.
Yeah.
Because I have stayed in a chapter. Psalm 37 has been a life chapter to me for 18 years. And to this day, it still speaks something else. Every season of my life, it speaks and it just unfolds. That is because it's alive and living. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit is there on those pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that when he does that, awakens us to some other truth that he's revealing to us. And I mean, like you, I've been serving the Lord for several years, and you know, I don't ever want to reach a place where I approach the word of God with a familiar spirit. You know, that familiarity that, oh, I've read that before, or even, you know, you're pastoring a church, and even people attending church, and the pastor's going to be preaching on a particular passage. And so often we can just tune him or her out because, oh, I've heard that before, or I've even taught on that before. Oh, you know, like if he's or she is preaching on that, there is something in there that the Lord is wanting to communicate and want you to hear. Oh, so good. So you've touched on a little bit that God has a plan for each of us. How can we reframe our time on this planet to see our lives through the lens of God's plans and purposes for each of us? Because I really do believe that we are alive on the planet for such a time as this. That, yes. You know, there's a reason why we weren't born 100 years ago, and to be able to see our lives, not through our own natural lens, but to reframe that and begin to see this life I now live, I live through and in Christ, and God has me here for a reason. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I think the first thing that we need to reflect on is, what is my focus? What is my mindset? Do I have a kingdom-focused mindset, or do I have a self-focused mindset? So that is something that we would need to set with the Lord, with and the Holy Spirit, and say, search me. Really do a search, Lord, and give him permission to do that. And as we do that, he is going to show us things, you know, and so let him show. And Hebrews 13 talks about the correction of the Lord. And so, and you may sit with him and there may not be any correction. You may be on path and there may not be any cleanup that needs to be done or any confessing or repenting, and that is fine. But let, if there is, don't get weighed down on that. Don't listen to the condemning voice, because the Holy Spirit is here to convict us and to lead us. So Hebrews 13 talks about the correction of the Lord, and it talks about how he loves us. He loves his sons and daughters, and those he corrects, he loves. He is loving on us when that happens. You know, Susan, when you correct your daughter when she was younger, it's because you loved her and you could see this is not going to be the right thing to do. So sit with the Lord, allow him to search us and speak to us and see what focus our heart really is at. Is it kingdom focus or self focus? Number two, I think just Ephesians 2:10. Understand that there are plans for all of God's sons and daughters. Like you said, we're not just here taking up space on planet Earth. You say that all the time. You remind us about that all the time. And that is such a good reminder. I'm not just here taking up space, but I am a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we do the good things he planned for us long ago." So we were born for this time. And Jeremiah 1 confirms that again, that before we were even born, he sanctified us, he called us, and he ordained us, he appointed us. So at conception, he was knitting us together, and he had those plans as he was knitting us together in our mother's womb. And he was saying, "Oh, this is going to be a good one. Look at the things that I have prepared for this child." And he has an expectation that we will trust him and walk those plans out that he planned long ago for us. And so that is something that we just have to settle in our heart, you know, and know that we are here. And that is a kingdom focused heart and mindset to say, okay, I'm a son and daughter of God, and he has good things for me, and he appointed them long ago. If you read on in Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 1, it says that the Lord tells Jeremiah after he's revealing all this to him, he says, "Therefore, prepare yourself and arise." So there is some responsibility on our behalf as sons and daughters of God to prepare ourselves and arise. So some of that preparing may be what I just mentioned in step one. Allow the Lord to search you and see what focus your heart is. Is it kingdom or is it self-focused heart, you know? And number three, I would say make room for him in our life. Give room. And I know that just keeps coming up in this session of the podcast, spending time with him, communing with the Father, making room for the Father. I would say sit at his feet and listen to him, honor the Holy Spirit's voice in our life. You know, one thing, and we talk about this portion of scripture is Martha and Mary, and that time Jesus came to their house, and it's located, the address to that is in Luke 10:38-42. But see, Martha, she had a different focus at that time. Her heart was focused on some different things, and it's not bad things, but it was shifted a little bit different. Martha welcomed Jesus into the heart, but she worked really hard in her own self to welcome him in. Mm-hmm. She was doing it in her own strength to welcome him in. She was doing it what society said, this is what a woman is supposed to do at this time, to welcome him in. And she was preparing and working and doing all these things. But Jesus said, the scripture said, Mary, though the sister of Martha, sat at Jesus' feet during that time. That's bold.
Yeah.
Because society would say, Mary, you are to serve these men. You are to do what Martha is doing, welcoming them in, work hard during this time, making sure they are comfortable, have their needs met. But Mary knew who was in the room, and she simply sat at his feet. And if you go and read that portion of scripture in the Amplified, it says that Mary chose the good part, and that which is to her advantage is what it says in the Amplified. And when you look up that word advantage, it says that it puts that it is something, an advantage is a circumstance that puts one in a favorable position.
Wow.
You wow. know, we all want to be in a favorable position in life. We all want to be with the Lord. So we're going to have to sit at his feet and listen. We're going to have to know that, you know, if he's speaking, that we're going to have to yield to him.
Mm-hmm.
Mary was yielding. She had a submitted spirit. She yielded to the voice of the room, and that was Jesus's. When everything else was going on, and she was supposed to be doing a whole list of things, she chose the good part.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that she was kingdom focused at that moment.
So powerful. Really so powerful. As we're wrapping up here, I want to sort of pull the curtains back a little bit and just be honest about sometimes, you know, we're human beings living in an imperfect world, a fallen world. And sometimes, you know, we're not immune to feelings of discouragement and disappointment. Definitely, I don't want to speak for you, but just watching, you know, our culture move from godly values and just it grieves my heart, because I believe it grieves God's heart. But I'm just curious, because I want to encourage the listening community, how we can lead ourselves well when discouragement wants to win the day. And we, you know, it just is wanting us to walk away, step away from this bold and audacious faith. It's just not worth it. It's too hard. How do you stand against that?
That can be tough. And you know, this path of righteousness for his name's sake, it is a narrow path.
Yeah.
And the narrow path is very tight, and it can feel constricting, you know. But there is one, and I keep going back, that leads us on that narrow path. And that is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And he's given us the Holy Spirit. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit. You have to tune other voices out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sit at the feet of Jesus and give him room in your life. You have to surround yourself with like-minded individuals. You have to resist the enemy. You do have an enemy. I have an enemy, and we have to resist him. We have to put on the full armor of God each day. Get up, putting on the full armor of God. It's found in Ephesians 6. This walk can be tough. And there have been tough moments that I've faced. And when those times get tough, I do shut out the voice of a lot of people whom I love, you know, and I get at the feet of Jesus. So I had a transition in life, a pretty bold step that the Lord was asking me to take a little in 2022. And so when I heard the Lord, I spoke to my husband about it, and we prayed upon it for about a year. And, you know, during that year, I didn't go around talking about it. I had just a few, very, very few people that I talked to about it. And we didn't mull it over and over again. I just, you know, mentioned it. So even when I was getting closer to taking that step, the Lord is so good if we'll give him room. And I was listening to a podcast and you were a guest speaker on there.
Oh,
and yeah. And I was listening to a podcast and I heard the Lord say, contact her. Susan, I have never met you at that point. And I was standing in a hotel room. I remember it. It's just one of those times. And he said, contact her. So I said, how? And he said, email her. Well, do you think I got on the email and emailed you right away? No. I was like, okay, I'm going to email her. I can do it. And so a month later, I had found your podcast and I was listening and you didn't know me. And I was listening in and you were speaking by the Spirit, so many things that were just speaking right to my heart. And I knew it was the Lord speaking to through you to me. And so I ended up emailing you and we did some of the life coaching that you do, which was just what the Lord wanted. Excuse me, I'm getting emotional. But it is exactly what I needed at that time. And it helped me be stronger in my faith. And it was a beautiful thing that the Lord did. And I so appreciate him speaking through you to me. But it was just something that I needed. So what I'm saying is, ladies, listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit. You are not here alone. When discouraging times, when transitions are happening in your life, shut the voices out. Shut all the voices out and just listen in, tune into his voice. He will lead you. He will lead you to people who will encourage you and sharpen you and strengthen you during your walk. Because there are going to be times that the enemy comes in and tries to get you off the path of righteousness. But resist him and draw near, stay near to the Father, stay near to him, stay at his feet. And that is the best advice that I can give to anybody. And I know I've sounded repetitive during this whole podcast, but that is the one place at his feet, listening to his voice in his word, because he knows our future. He knows the steps. He knows our heart. He knows where we're at. He knows us better than we know. And he is going to lead us. He is going to show up and lead us. But we will have to take steps of faith. We will have to be bold. For me, contacting you, Susan, and being introduced to your ministry by the Father, you know, I stumbled along your podcast, but he divinely, well, I stumbled along that other podcast where you were a guest speaker, but I believe that was a divine connection that he was putting together. And look at us today. Now we're, you know, talking on your podcast. I never dreamed that, but he is so faithful. He will get you to the people who will sharpen you and encourage you where he is speaking through them. We need the body of Christ. Don't forsake the assembly. But you may have to shut out voices, familiar voices, like you were saying, because they do have their best interests, but they don't know your future like the Holy Spirit does. So get to know the voice of the Holy Spirit. We are here for this time. We are here, like you were saying, to be an impact to those around us during this time. And so we're going to have to be strong and courageous and know the Lord is with us, just like it said in Joshua, just like the Lord commanded Joshua, be strong and be courageous. Don't be discouraged, for I'm with you wherever you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are just a few examples of how I shut out discouragement. Resist the enemy. He will flee is what it says.
Yeah.
Resist.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thank you for those kind and generous words. They just truly touch a deep place in my heart. Thank you. Listening community, I did not pay her for that.
No,
that was not in the notes. Hey, can you say something about me? Oh, my goodness. But, you know, I think that I know that you had said that you sound, you know, repetitive, but I don't feel like you are. I feel like you're just really reinforcing what God is trying to remind us of. If we want Him to draw unto us, we need to draw unto Him. And
yes.
And so I love that. Thank you so much for being on the show and adding value to my life and to the listening community. I told you, ladies, this we were really blessed with this conversation and having Missy here with us. She is straight up fire, I'm telling you. And I told you from the get-go, she is carrying a message that is really a word in due season. Such wisdom came from you today. Thank you. Thank you, Missy, for joining us. We hope to have you back again. I'm sure that we will, because I know that there's in more on. In you that we need to glean from. So thank you. Thank you, ladies, for joining us. And let us know what your takeaways are. And be sure to check out the show notes for the links in how to connect with Missy in the online space. She is truly a gem, and you will want to connect with her going forward. So take care, have a great rest of your week, and I will catch you right back here next time.
Thank you so much for joining me this week. It was great connecting with you. Hey, would you do me a quick favor that would mean the world to me? Would you go ahead and leave a few stars and a review or even a comment? It not only means so much to me, but in the online space and the podcasting world, the more stars, reviews, and comments that a podcast receives, the further the reach. It ranks up a little bit higher in Google searches, which then results in reaching more women with this amazing content. So if you are blessed and enjoying, you know, just the content that you are hearing here on the podcast, would you go ahead and leave a few stars, a review, and some comments? It means the world to me. Thank you so much, and I'll catch you right back here, same place, same time next week.